All right, let's take our Bibles and turn back to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. The Lord has promised that he was going to send judgment upon the earth because every thought and imagination of man was only evil continually. And that time has come. The Lord told Noah in verse 1 of chapter 7, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." And the scripture declares in verse 5, "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." Now I'd like to begin back where I left off, in verse 16. The scripture says that in the 7 days, it was 7 days, the Lord told Noah, 7 days, the rain is going to start. And all of the animals that Noah was commanded to bring into the ark, now they begin to come. And it says in verse 16, "And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him." The scripture declares that Almighty God is God in heaven and earth, and he rules over man and beast. God, Elohim, God Almighty. He rules over the wind, he rules over the water, he rules over the animals, he rules. God instructed ravens to feed Elijah daily, and they did. God gave a voice to Balaam's ass, and it spoke with reason. You know, this donkey asked Balaam, "Why did you hit me?" And Balaam spoke back. God made that animal speak. God prepared a great whale to swallow Jonah. And for 3 days and three nights, he was in the belly of that whale. And when Jonah made this declaration, "Salvation is of the Lord," the whale vomited him up upon the shore. And Almighty God directed these animals to get into that ark. Appointed the animals that would get in, 7 pair of every clean and a pair of unclean. And they went in as God commanded him. But when it came to Noah and his family being in the ark and finding safety and security, the scriptures declares that it was the Lord who shut him in. We took note of that, but I'm going to elaborate a little bit on it. God commanded those animals to get in, and the Lord shut him, that is Noah, his family, in. Noah had no way of doing it. That door was 3 stories tall, covered all stories of the ark. And God, who told him, "You come into the ark," the Lord was in the ark. The Spirit of God precisely reveals that it was Jehovah, the covenant God, who shut the vessel of his mercy into that ark. Now here we behold the divine truth of love of the Lord for his people, electing mercy, who took and moved upon that vessel, that object of his affection, put him in and shut him in, closed him in. Put him in securely into the ark. He was shut in by the Lord who loved him and saved him. It was the Lord capital L, capital O, capital R, covenant God dealing with Noah. It said, come in, come thou in, verse 1, into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Ever viewed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was going to be with Noah in the outpouring of that flood. The Lord was there. The Lord was with him. Jehovah, electing Father, redeeming Son, regenerating Spirit, Jehovah was with him. Oh, the faithfulness of him who says to his people, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Noah was shut in with him who is the fullness of the Godhead. Shut in where no evil could reach him. So here we see the truth of the Lord's word in John 10:28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That ark was a picture of all God's elect being in Christ, secure in Christ. Noah could no more get out of that ark than those who eternally loved of God Almighty can remove themselves from the Lord Jesus Christ and be lost. It's like those 10 wise virgins that picture the entire elect, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were 10 wise and 10 foolish virgins, you remember. And those 10 wise virgins had sufficient oil for their lamps. That was the distinguishing marks of those 10 wise virgins. What they had was a picture of them possessing the Spirit of God with their profession. That lamp is the light of their profession in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had oil for their lamp. Picture the Spirit. Possessors of the Spirit of God. And when the bridegroom came, the announcement went out. Bridegroom's here. And come to the marriage. Bridegroom's here. And all of a sudden, 10 foolish virgins, probably they didn't have any oil. Picture of those professors of religion that do not possess the Spirit of God. And they said to the 10 wise ones, give us some oil. They said, no, we don't have enough for you. There's enough only for us. You're going to have to go get your own. And as they were gone, the bridegroom came. The wise virgins were brought into the marriage, and the door was shut. 10 foolish came back. Let us in. No. The door shut. The door shut. The Lord shut Noah in. That truth of being shut into Christ and held by the Lord of glory revealed in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation, I'll just read this to you. Revelation 3:7, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy. Holy. Almighty God. Holy God. Holy Father, holy God-man mediator, he who is unchangeably holy, the righteous servant of Jehovah, the one whose meat it is to do the will of the Father that sent him and to finish the work, he that is true, true alone, and apart from him, all is a lie. He is the truth. Scripture says, he that hath the key of David. That truth was set forth in Isaiah. Amazing. Isaiah 22. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 20 to 23 is what I'm going to read. And the scripture setting forth this truth. Isaiah 22:20, it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. And I let me just say this right now. Let's just look past the man Eliakim and look to the one of whom Eliakim is a type, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. It shall come to pass in that day I'll call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with thy robe, Strengthen him with thy girdle. I will commit thy government into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shut. And he shall shut and none shall open. This is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has the keys to life. Keys to life itself. Keys of heaven. Keys of glory. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the key holder, the absolute Lord and treasurer of the spiritual house of David, of whom David is a type. He opens, no man shuts. He shuts and no man opens. And the scripture declares that the one who has the key is the one who is all powerful, unlimited access to all that the key opens are shuts. And here we're talking about salvation. We're talking about being in Christ. We're talking about being found in the city of refuge, the cleft of the rock. How do men get in him? God puts them there. God keeps them there. God sustains them there. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth, the Lord said. He justly and sovereignly rules over all creation in providence, salvation. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. In the light of creation, all of the Lord's. And the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You know, being the property of Almighty God, he has the right to deal with men as he deems fit. He's got the right to save one, show mercy. He's got the right to leave a man to himself and punish him according to the guilt that that man has incurred. He shows mercy to whomsoever he will, and whomsoever he will, he hardens. He has the right to open unto any man the revelation of himself. He has the right to open a heart like he did Lydia's when Paul was preaching. He has the power and right to be silent concerning the revelation of himself as he was toward Pharaoh, who justly perished in the Red Sea. He's got the right. Salvation is of the Lord. And if he's pleased to be silent to any man, he's God. Oh, the safety and the mercy of God to be shut in by the Lord. No possibility of being outside the ark and kept there by the power of God. Now, just stop for a minute. May the Lord just give us just a thought. If I'm in Christ, I'm in Christ by the grace of God. I am what I am by God's grace. The Lord shut him in. And then back in Genesis chapter 7, verses 17 to 20. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased and bare up the ark. And it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. How assuring it is to read that while the storm of God's wrath surrounded the ark, and those obviously in it, the ark kept them afloat. 40 days and 40 nights of God's judgment. The revelation of what the law demanded for man's rebellion. And the ark bore the judgment that Noah and his family deserved. And they lived. A beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ upon Calvary's tree. I said before, when he died upon the tree, Paul said, I was crucified with him. All God's people with him. When he died, we died in him. When he was buried, we was buried with him. When he rose, we rose with him. Ascended, we ascended with him. Said so many times, these things are so high, but they're so. And we believe him and we trust him. And the waters increased and prevailed, and the ark with the vessels of God's mercy within were lifted up. Lifted up toward heaven, going upon the face of the water. And the scripture says that the ark, it went, verse 18, I was looking for, went upon the face of the waters. I thought about it, it had no rudder. It had no means of navigation, naturally speaking. The Lord moved it. And are we not going through this world providentially? In the ark of our blessed Savior, led by His Spirit, the guide, ordering the steps of good man, ordered. Where did the ark go? Wherever God put it to go. It was going to rest on Mount Ararat in the next chapter. How did it get there? God put it there. God knew where Mount Ararat was. And the waters lifted up that ark, and the ark went upon the face of the water. That rain was bearing down, and in this world we're going to have tribulations, but be of good cheer. We're in the ark, pitched outside, inside. And the Lord has overcome the world. We're in it. But I was looking at this in that passage we just read, 17 to 20. It says, in all the high hills, verse 19, all the high hills that were under the whole earth were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. I don't doubt for one second that when it started raining, people immediately started realizing we may have made a mistake. You give it just a little bit, and then they know they made a mistake. The door is shut to the ark. God has shut the door. No man can open it. And now the water's starting to come up. It rained 40 days and 40 nights, and it kept rising and rising. Eventually, it lifted up the ark. The ark was sitting on the ground. And the next thing you know, the ark is starting to move. Well, by this time, water's everywhere. And the hills, the first thing you're going to do is they're going to go for the hills. We got to go to high ground. We got to get some safety. And then the high hills were covered. Well, then the next thing, verse 20 says, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. I don't doubt for one second, Mark, that everybody that could be on that land was on the peak of that mountain. They're all there. There's thousands of them. And they're everywhere, and the water's coming up, and eventually some of them's going to have to start floating away. And those last ones, and 15 cubits above it. And everybody died. Eventually everybody died. The scripture declares that all types, all places of false refuge in this world is going to prove, or be proven, inadequate. Every place that men think that they're going to be able to make it to safety, God's going to show that place of refuge to be nothing. Every explanation when men stand before God. You know, Matthew 7, we looked at it so many times. Here's the hills and the mountains that get covered. Here's the hill. Here's the mountain right here. We prophesied in your name. I'm standing on a mountain of a hill, a high mountain, a high hill of hope. I preached in your name. I stood in pulpits. I led people to Jesus. I got them down on their knees. I went through the Roman road with them. I cast out devils in your name. I did many marvelous works in your name. And all of those hills and all of those mountains are going to be covered in the wrath and judgment of God. And all men died. All the places of hoped safety were covered. Verse 20, 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and cattle, a beast, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. Oh, the end of all who believe not on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one place of safety. There's one ark. There's one city. Outside of Him, wrath is promised and wrath will be sent. All outside that ark, the Scripture said, died. All places where men are being told that you have to do something in order to be saved is a high hill and a mountain that's going to be covered in the judgment of God. 1 John 5:12 says, "He that hath the Son," that is, he that hath the Son by faith, hath life. For he is life. I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. He that hath the Son has life. He is life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. Verse 23 says, "And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things, fowl of the heaven, they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." Can it be proclaimed too much that in him was life? That's John 1:4. The Lord Jesus Christ, who created all things, is the fountain and the giver of himself, life. Creature life, spiritual life, eternal life. All men, those who are the Lord's in covenant mercy and those who know him not in mercy, are actually naturally walking around in this world sustained by him who is life. Life, all life that you see, that the Lord himself is life. That tree right there is alive, being made by and kept by and sustained by God Almighty. Life. You say, well, it's just coming out. In him is life. He's life. Apart from him is death. So we all men are walking around by the good pleasure of Almighty God. Oh, but those who have been called out of darkness, sin and unbelief, who know him by faith, those who are kept by the power of God through faith, are alive spiritually. Everybody's alive physically if they're walking around, naturally speaking. There's a natural life of man. But when that new man is put there, that man is life. Christ in you, the hope of glory, alive in him. But apart from him is death. This truth was vividly displayed in the flood. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to draw his own unto himself. In verse 24, "And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days." Of all that can be said concerning the conclusion of the record of the flood, nothing is more sure than in the midst of this deluge, Noah and his family was preserved as the water prevailed upon the earth. From the time that it started raining until that ark rested on Mount Ararat, five months. Chapter 7, verse 11 says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, second month, 17th day of the month, same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, windows of heaven opened. Second month, 17th day, it started raining. Chapter 8, verse 4 says, and the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. 5 months from the time it started raining until that ark rested. Now, they didn't get out of the ark just then, but the water was receding, and it rested. 5 months, 150 days, a span of time in which nothing that was separated from the ark could possibly sustain life. And as in the days of Noah, when the Lord is pleased for the time of reckoning to commence, in the day of the Lord, in that day when Almighty God sounds that trumpet, the trumpet of God's going to sound, the dead in Christ is going to rise, Paul said, we'll meet him in the air, we'll all stand before God in that day of judgment. He that hath the Son, he that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, what does that mean? He means he has no confidence in his flesh. He's not trusting himself. Lord, save me, like Peter said. Lord, save me. Save me or I'm going to perish. Lord, if I have you, I have life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. The wrath of God abides on him. May the Lord be pleased to call out his own. Keep him for Christ's sake and for the good of that vessel of his mercy.